When the body is suffering, it will give you symptoms not as an inconvenience, but as a way of saying attention needs to be paid here.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder. Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from Charlotte, North Carolina. I have got Elizabeth Gaines in the house. Elizabeth, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I'm so ready, Jules.
Yeah, really excited to dive in with this woman. For those of you that are not familiar with Elizabeth, she is a functional health practitioner and burnout recovery expert that specializes in understanding how stress and disempowerment lead the body out of balance and into disease. So many of us can definitely resonate with that. I know you've been certified through the functional diagnostic nutrition, and you really use, you know, lab testing along with many different things to analyze the body's core systems to understand how does holistic lifestyle changes bring about long-lasting and healing, you know, personalized healing to your clients. And, you know, I know you yourself, you know, you've struggled with chronic fatigue, adrenal dysfunction, things that so many of us are told, well, it's just a byproduct of entrepreneurship, or, oh, just going to live with that and maybe eventually get better. And I know, you know, with a lot of the work that you've done with your clients, you've been able to get to the bottom of some of the root causes of some of these things and, you know, really be an advocate to help people understand what's really going on, you know, when our bodies give us these different signals. So I'm excited to dive into that with you and to have you on the show, fill in any gaps that I might have left out, and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure to be here. So thank you for having me. And I think that getting in touch with our health is actually the highest form of self-love that we can practice. And I think that, you know, I came from a state of chronic disempowerment emotionally and really unable to generate self-love from the inside, and was therefore looking for it through job, through relationships. And that put me into this chronically disempowered place where I started to get real physical deficits. And I think that a lot of us, when we think about being emotionally out of balance, don't connect that to physical deficits. But when you run that deficit for long enough, the body has to step up and take the hits for you. And so it comes to a point where it just can't do that anymore. And in order to truly heal, we really have to develop that self-love and the understanding that it is the relationship with the body that has to be healed first. Like that broken trust on both sides, if it isn't dealt with, it's like living with an enemy when it should be your best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you and I have had, you know, many conversations. You've come to several Unconventional Lives, you know, over the years. When was the first time we met? Was it Italy or where?
It was Italy, 2017. Yeah,
I know. And then there's been South Africa, Morocco, several different places. And yeah. You know, you've always been such a wealth of knowledge in this domain. And, you know, for myself this year, with COVID and slowing down, like so much of my own health has come into question, whether it's been mental health or physical health, and just trying to get answers of why is my body not performing at the rate that I'm used to it performing at. And I don't know if it's, I just have more time on my hands or what it's been, but I think it's been historically so easy for me just to kind of ignore, like if it's not the loudest screaming baby, like I got to show up. I've got things to do. I've got places to be for. And I think for so many of us, and even I imagine with your clients, you're starting to see more of an increase of people putting awareness on it because there's more time right now. And so what do you notice with people's relationship and the patterns, you know, to how they relate to their health? And what do you tend to see with some of your clients and for our listeners, you know, some things they might be understanding in themselves that they're trying to get answers to that maybe they don't have answers to right now?
Yeah. So I think that learning to put your body on the back burner starts so young. You know, it's in preschool when you want to go to the bathroom and they tell you it's not time to go to the bathroom yet, or when you want to take a nap and they tell you it's not time for that yet, or it's not time for lunch and you're hungry, you know? And so you learn very early on, particularly for those of us that are people pleasers, that your body and the signals it gives you cannot be trusted. And that those signals in fact jeopardize your acceptance and your ability to be loved by others. And so once you get that messaging, then we learn like, okay, my body is a hindrance. And these symptoms that I'm starting to have, like if I have headaches every day or I'm starting to gain some weight, that just needs to be medicated away. It needs to be pushed through. And that is an inconvenience, is I think that we tend to equate our bodies to simple machines. Like you should just be able to turn the lever and the wheel spins. And if it doesn't, like that's a real inconvenience. And all, you know, and so simple machines are expected to work all the time without a break. When they malfunction, it's a big inconvenience. And we're not expected to have an emotional relationship with simple machines. So all of these things compromise our ability to really understand that when the body is suffering, it will give you symptoms, not as an inconvenience, but as a way of saying attention needs to be paid here. I'm missing something and I cannot continue to perform at this level if we don't have a conversation about this. So I think the first step and what I think many of us have started to be able to do during COVID is to take the time to listen to that and say, oh, actually I get a headache every day at 4 p.m. or I'm needing more coffee than I needed 3 years ago. Or exercise starts to exhaust me in a way that it used to give me energy. And these are all your body's way of saying, hey, I'm metabolically compromised, which means I'm more susceptible to disease. And particularly in the time of COVID, that's something to be paid attention to, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know you specialize, you know, you're a burnout recovery expert as well. And so you do, you know, work with a lot of people who are in burnout. And, you know, what are some of the common, you know, symptoms that you see, whether it's in burnout, just in terms of the physiological perspective with the body? And then what are some of the solutions that you find, you know, people who might be in a state of burnout or in a high state of stress, people can start incorporating into their life and their lifestyle?
Yeah, so I think when we are in burnout, we have all the plates in the air. We're going 24/7. We're burning the candle at both ends. And the first thing that starts to happen is that we feel tired. And so when we don't address that, when we just push through, then that starts to show up as a feeling of being really unmotivated and no longer connected to purpose. Which then people don't connect this to a physical symptom. They connect this to like, I guess I'm just, you know, mentally broken, or I'm not trying hard enough. And that needs to be pushed through. And so then you start to think, well, maybe I just need a vacation. Maybe like 3 days, I'll just sleep on the couch or watch TV or go sit on the beach and I'll be fine. But then you go and do that, right? And you come back and you don't feel any better. That's when you know. It's burnout. It's not just this need for a couple of days of extra sleep, and that the fatigue that is happening and the lack of focus that is happening, this like brain fogginess and short-term memory starts to go. Maybe you're working on something and the phone rings. And then when you get off the phone, it takes you like 15 minutes to figure out where you were in your work process. Yeah. And you tend to think that's just a lack of motivation or your passion is dwindling, but this is actually your body saying, well, I've produced so much cortisol that I've broken down, like, because cortisol breaks down the body to produce energy in times of stress. Then you're supposed to rest and relax and your DHEA comes in to fill in that gap and rebuild you. But when we have chronic cortisol going on, then we become more catabolic than we are anabolic. And that's when we start showing these symptoms of fatigue and brain fog and lack of motivation that are actually physically rooted in the fact that we aren't rebuilding fast enough.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. And you know, with that, let's talk about functional health particularly. And, you know, for some people are like functional health, like I go to the doctor or there's like, you know, what is functional health? What role does it serve? And, you know, for myself, I've gone so down the rabbit hole this year, you know, understanding Epstein-Barr, understanding what I thought was adrenal fatigue, like the labs and the things. I'm like, whoa, this is a whole world that I'm now becoming educated on. Yeah. For someone that isn't, like, give us kind of the over under on that and just a bit of a frame people can listen through.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a functional health practitioner, I am, as the name would imply, interested in function. I want to know where you have lost function and where you are operating at a deficit within those core systems of your body, which I think of as hormones, immunity, detoxification, digestion, energy production, and nervous system. So the acronym HIDDEN, those are the six core systems. So I want to see how you have lost function within the hidden systems. And so a doctor is trained for catastrophe. A doctor is trained to save your life. So if you have cancer, if you've been in a car accident and you are bleeding out, that guy is the one you want, right? He is trained to come in and like make sure you live. But in the terms of quality of life, where that function starts to get lost, you walk into the doctor and say, I'm tired. He's going to be like, freaking stand in line. Everybody's tired, right? I don't know what to do for you, because he's not trained for that. And so with the functional health world, instead of running lab work to determine whether or not you have crossed over into disease, we run lab work to determine how much stress your body is under trying to keep you from crossing over into disease. So where you have these deficits that haven't yet turned into disease, that's called subclinical. And that's where we shine, is to be able to restore that quality of life by restoring those subclinical deficits before they become clinical and allowing for that more robust quality of life to return.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. And, you know, for someone that wants to understand, you know, we've heard of chronic fatigue or adrenal fatigue. I watch so many of my peers, even those that have been on the show, will like put the interview off and be like, so how's it really going over there? You know, and right. They'll share, right? But you just see the high functioning performing side of them. You're like, this is a superhuman. Yeah. But, you know, like where do people, before it actually hits those points, like what are some ways or even tools people can look at and inquire at, you know, just to kind of get an assessment of baseline or where they at today and where are the potential pitfalls if they don't course correct, you know, that could lead to bigger things.
Yeah. So adrenal fatigue is an interesting phrase because it implies that like the adrenals are just tired and they're not outputting cortisol anymore. But actually the trouble starts way before that. Adrenal fatigue is like somewhat a point of collapse. Before that, what we start to see happening is that the signaling of how the adrenals should participate and how robustly they should participate gets compromised. So we have what's called a circadian rhythm, which gets us through our 24-hour day. We are diurnal creatures, which means we are up with the sun and we sleep at night. And so we should see in the morning really high cortisol, and then we should step down gradually during the day. But when we start to get these signaling errors, we can see like huge amounts of cortisol in the morning or no cortisol in the morning or like bumps where we should be stepping down or spikes at night when we should be sleeping. And that's not the adrenals being tired because they're still pumping out the cortisol. They're just, it's like badly timed traffic lights in the city. Right, it's going to take you a long time to get through the city if the traffic lights are not timed properly, and that's what that whole sort of axis in your brain and your pituitary gland is designed to do, is make sure that cortisol is getting to you at the right times and in the right amounts. So when we start to see that deviate, we're going to start to feel off. We're going to either wake up like already anxious, that sort of like wired and tired. I'm anxious, but I didn't sleep. And so I'm not restored. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of crash in the afternoon as like, you know, you had a whole lot of cortisol in the morning and then nothing for the rest of the day. So we start to see things like that happen. And so generally people are going to start to self-medicate in that phase. Like, well, I just need more coffee. I just need like maybe some sugar in the afternoon, but that's a signal. That's a signal that you are heading towards some dysfunction and that you are in the subclinical level. So it's time at that point to do some serious reflection about lifestyle, about maybe I need some functional lab work done. Maybe like I need to take this seriously instead of just trying to push through.
Yeah, absolutely. And Unconventional Lifers, we've got a great giveaway, which we're going to talk about in just a little bit here. If you're also like, maybe I do want to get more info on how to do that, Elizabeth's got something really awesome for you. So, you know, my last question with this is like, why does this matter, right? And I know you've got an interesting theory. If we zoom out, like, what's the overall importance or significance of really owning and working with, you know, our DNA in this way? And so I'd love for you to share a little bit about your insight with that.
Yeah. Thank you. So I think, you know, I've been thinking a lot about my personal why as to why this matters to me, you know, sort of beyond my own episode of chronic fatigue and beyond, you know, working with people on an individual level. And I think that my job is definitely to help people achieve the highest level of vitality possible, because I think that high level of vitality is actually our birthright. And our ancestors endured unimaginable hardship. They were surviving exposure, disease, starvation, famine, drought, like all the things, right? And in surviving those things, they were really able to hand us through time on a silver platter the most vibrant, resilient, intelligent, adaptable genome in the known universe. And that is something that slowly gets degraded over time as we become metabolically compromised. And as we take on unresolved trauma, all of these things damage the genes. And then we pass that down in our DNA. So it becomes like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox mm-hmm. of a Xerox. So as I think about the role of functional medicine and functional health, what I really think it is to protect the genome, so that we can pass down the strongest, most vibrant legacy for the future of the human race.
Yeah, which is awesome. Yeah. When you think about it that way, and I'm like, all right, I'll do my part.
Yeah, and I think that encompasses a lot of other siloed causes, right? Like that means we've got to deal with preserving our habitat and soil regeneration, and we've got to deal with our protecting original food and water so that, you know, I can drink spring water instead of water that's been fluoridated and filled with chemicals. And yeah. I think that also a big one is preserving our original method of problem solving, which was in community. It wasn't just like this individual needs to handle everything. You know, we had cooperative communities in which we were able to problem solve in a cooperative way. And all, you know, that's sort of been lost. I think we really need to have a place where we can deal with unresolved trauma, as we know that degrades DNA. And so I think a lot of these things then fold in together under the umbrella of functional health.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, my last question for you before we jump into the rapid fire on Elizabeth is, if someone listening to this interview was to pause this right now and, you know, make a few micro changes that, you know, could help them either reframe or even, you know, reshift the way that they move about their day to day, what would those be? And what do you think really moves the needle?
I think the first thing that we have to do is get back in touch with our bodies. And so I like to have people start with just picking two times a day, the same two times a day for 2 weeks, and just write down what is happening with them physically and emotionally in that moment. And then we can sort of look at that data. We can compile. I'm a big data person. I'm a huge nerd that way. So I like to compile data and see patterns. And we start to see where the body is actually asking for help. And so sometimes that looks like carving out protected time before you go to work or after you get home to meditate, to rebalance, to recenter. Sometimes that looks like really having to work to have a sustainable method to reach presence. Because even if you're carving out the time and you're like in the bubble bath, but you're worried about the email or like what you're going to make your family for dinner, there is no healing there. The healing is in being present. So I think that's where mindset and health really hold hands. And I think that, you know, it's really hard to shift mindset when you have health deficits. It's also really hard to shift health when you have mindset deficits. So the two have to work in conjunction.
Yeah.
I would also say, like, just one shift everyone can make today is examine your water. examine your water. If you're drinking city water, figure out how to get a filter into your house or spring water. Like, start with clean water. That's the first big change everybody can make.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, the marrying of the two with mindset and health, you know, I know for myself, I, you know, been navigating Epstein-Barr virus and all this other stuff this year. And I'm just like, you know, some days I'm on top of the world and I'm like, yes, I can do everything. And other days I'm like, I can't get out of bed. Nothing's working. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's its own thing. And so I think that's awesome. And water, I mean, is so essential with life. And you and I actually did a mineral test, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but to actually look at some of the things, even in my mountain well water, which I was like, oh, this could actually be adding. So, we'll talk about that in just a minute. So let's jump into the rapid fire rounds, a series of lightning questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Question number one, fill in the blank. I feel like you'll nail this because you've been to so many unconventional life events. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I really just desperately want all of you to like me.
So great. Literally the amount of guests that come on the show and they're like, I don't know. I'm like, she's gonna rock this one. That's great.
Yep.
Next question. What is one book that you've read recently that really stuck out to you and why?
I'm actually reading Madison's notes on the first Constitutional Convention. And that's been really interesting to me because he's the only one who took notes while the Constitution was being debated for its original form. And so we only have it through Madison's eyes. But the things that he noted and the things that were floated around about how the country should look and how it should operate, it's fascinating to go back and check that out.
Yeah, love that. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel puts you in a good framework for success?
Earthing, I guess that's the new name for it, because you have to like separate it from grounding, which can be done with a grounding mat. I'm not sure about the grounding mat because I feel like you're still pulling all of the electricity around you through your body to get it into the grounding mat. So I like earthing, which is, you know, just to be barefoot on the earth in the morning. I like to go out there, look at the sun, feel whatever temperature is happening outside. And I'm a big wuss about winter. And so I tend to like judge winter really harshly and be like, it's not worth going outside. But I'm trying to like let go of my attachment to warm weather and like my expectations of what is good and bad weather-wise and just accept what the planet is giving me that day as I stand on it and receive its wisdom.
I love that. Last question. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Well, you know, I tried really hard to live the conventional life and it just didn't work. It didn't work. You know, I didn't ask to live the unconventional life because frankly, it's really hard. But the conventional life just failed me so miserably. And so I think to live the unconventional life is about really examining the assumptions that have been handed down to you and recognizing them as assumptions rather than hard truth. And that is a practice that I am in continually every day.
Yeah, well said. Me too. So, Elizabeth, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
Yeah, so I have a really fun test that can be done with just a tiny sample of hair. And it can tell us many, many things about you. It can tell us about your thyroid and your adrenals and your metabolism, your blood sugar, your hormones, whether or not you've got chronic infections going on. It can tell us about some toxic metal buildup that you may have accumulated. It can tell us sort of how fast or slow your body systems are moving. And I would love to give that away for one listener.
Yeah, so awesome. I actually hired Elizabeth recently and we did that test and it was awesome and really revealing, to say the least. I mean, awesome in the sense that I'm a data junkie, not awesome in the sense of everything we found, but that's another episode maybe. But with that, you know, it's really valuable to get the information. And actually, in some ways, it confirmed a lot of, you know, what I've been already understanding about myself. So Unconventional Life Shows, I highly recommend taking advantage of that. You can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com, click on the giveaway tab to enter to win that giveaway. And I know you, you know, not only do you offer those tests, but you offer, you know, you're a full functional medicine doctor and you work, you know, a lot, a practitioner, and you
work doing
all different kinds of stuff. And so for those that want to learn more about your work, you know, follow along what you're doing and get more educated in the domain of functional medicine, what's the best way for people to stay in touch and to follow along?
Come on over to breakthroughburnout.com and you can sign up for my newsletter. You can also schedule a free consultation call there with no obligation. If you just want to talk about some of the things that are going on with your health, I'm always happy to do that. So that's where you can reach me.
Amazing. We will throw that link on our show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com. And, you know, I've gotten to know you over the last, 4 years maybe or so. And so Elizabeth is definitely the real deal when it comes to this work. And so highly recommend checking her out as well. So it was great to have you on air and catch up, you know, in this way. And so good to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Jules.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone.